Underwriting deals is such a major pain point for people. Most don't want to do it, and the people that are good at it are few and far between. That is why after 6 years of being in the industry and buying over 1,200 apartments, using my best-selling multifamily deal analyzer, I created Real Estate Lab, a full-suite acquisition software for multifamily investors. We have built a product that helps investors automate their acquisitions and close more deals, all in a cloud-based platform. You can go to realestatelab.com and sign up today using the promo code TAG2 for 10% off your first 12 months. This is David Tupin. Thanks for listening.
You're worried about your phone going off and your computer and this and that. And I would say there's any amount of time. You could do 2 minutes. You could do 20 minutes. Like, anything will make an impact. And once you start implementing it is when you really start bearing the fruits of the quiet space that you create.
Welcome to the Apartment Gurus, where we dive deep into all things multifamily investing. Our mission is to educate, inspire, and empower real estate investors to reach their highest potential. Each week, host Tate Seymour and co-host Chelsea Garber interview high-level guests from all over the industry who are sure to bring valuable, actionable ideas that will propel your business to the next level. Whether you're just starting out or a seasoned investor, you are in the right place. And now your hosts, the Apartment Gurus, Tate Seymour and Chelsea Garber.
Welcome everybody back to another episode of the Apartment Gurus. And I have my partner and co-host Chelsea Garber with us today. Chelsea, it's good to see you. Thanks for being on the show again, as always.
Awesome to be here again with my fellow guru.
Well, you know, I think our motto is the Apartment Gurus, where you are the guru. You know, we, as many of you know, we're not necessarily the oldest or most experienced syndication group on the block, but so, you know, we're always learning and growing, and I hesitate to consider myself a guru at this point, but it fits the show, I think, pretty well. It's a good name, and we rebranded the show when Chelsea came on board, and we couldn't call it the Apartment Guys anymore for obvious reasons. So anyway, Apartment Gurus is what we're going with, and I think it's a good one. So with that, I'm coming to you all, even though my background is Salt Lake City. I don't have a good Michigan beach cottage background yet, but coming to you from my family's beach house on Lake Michigan, northern Michigan. And I've got a house full of dogs and kids, and my aunt and my mom are here. So it's pretty quiet around here right now. I think it'll stay that way, but if you hear a bark, that's why. So, and Chelsea, you're in Park City today.
I'm holding down the fort here in Utah.
Yeah, that's great. Yep, I always feel great when Chelsea's holding down the fort. That's one nice thing about being in a great partnership is, you know, you can support each other when you're doing the vacation stuff or even traveling for business, like I was last week. I was in Columbus looking at properties and looking at our current properties and touring new properties. And Chelsea and Carl were fantastic at especially you, Chelsea, just like held down the fort is the best mm-hmm. phrase, I think. And so grateful to you for that. Appreciate you.
Yeah, good. You work hard and you deserve, you know, everybody needs time off to regenerate, rejuvenate. At the end of the day, like, what's really important to you, right? Friends, family,
yep.
You know, work can usually wait, or in our case, you have two other partners who can pick up when needed. And that's the beautiful thing about what we're doing.
Yeah. And one of our core values at Greenlight is work hard, play hard. And mm-hmm. you got to have some free time to play hard. And, you know, I play really hard on weekends. Like if there's nothing that I need to be at in Salt Lake City, I'm usually in the desert or in the mountains in my camper and ride my mountain bike. And Chelsea, you spend a lot of time on your horse and traveling for pleasure and mountain biking and skiing. So we're very active and passionate about our playtime activities, and we support each other in those, you know, like we kind of make sure that we can do all that for each other. So what Chelsea and I would really like to talk to you about today is what we consider to be a real secret sauce for entrepreneurs, and that's meditation. And so you might say, well, this is a show about apartment investing. You know, it's not a show about Buddhism or anything like that, a spirituality, right? But this stuff is all very from a holistic standpoint, it's all integrated with each other, and you are a whole person, and you know, your business life and is very much influenced by your personal life, your physical life, your psychological life. All the aspects of being a human being go into success. And you can't be uber successful in one part of your life without having a lot of success in other parts of your life. And on the flip side, if you got one or two or three parts of your life that aren't at the level that you want them to be, it's kind of hard to bring those other levels up. I think especially in business. Wouldn't you agree, Chels?
Yeah, and you hear it all the time throughout different industries. All of the greats, whether it's the top performing athletes, business, you know, entrepreneurs, are doing some form of meditation as part of their daily practice. And when you start to hear things over and over again, you know, when you're picking the traits of ultra successful people, meditation's always up there in the top five, I would say.
That's exactly right. I mean, most thought leaders that you listen to in podcasts and audiobooks and, or, you know, regular books, speakers, like if you ask them about their personal routines and their personal habit, they're going to have some sort of habit that is kind of what I call like a silence exercise, right? And prayer's great. Like a lot of people are really into prayer of whatever orientation they happen to be a part of, and that's great. But to me, there's nothing that replaces quieting your thoughts and sitting and being intentional about being in a space that you can, like a friend of mine called it, like almost like defragmenting a hard drive, right? Like we're every day, all day, in our heads, our brain and our body are creating neurological activity, your basic thoughts, right? Like you're just kind of always in your thoughts. And for the most part, we as human beings identify with our thoughts as being real and as being part of who we are. Like we think of them as like a projection of who we really are. And, you know, what Chelsea and I are going to talk about today is kind of rooted in the idea that you're not your thoughts. You know, you're not all that chatter that goes on in your head. You're not the judgments and the worry and, you know, even the good stuff like your excitement and everything. Like they're transitory things, kind of like clouds in the sky. And if you treat them as such, that gives you space and power around them so that you can make choices and act out of choice rather than default is kind of how I would say it. So, Chelsea, kind of share with the audience, if you would, a little bit about kind of your experience with meditation, your background with it, how you learned it and you know, how it's helped you and moved you.
Yeah, no, and that was so well said for, you know, how you just explained that, you know, the basics of meditation is clearing space in your mind. Yeah. And my meditation over the years has been in various forms. I wouldn't say I've been a forever meditator. It's something that's probably more fairly new to me in the last maybe 3 or 4 years as I, you know, started dabbling in some yoga and definitely through COVID when I was listening to the podcast and doing these 30 or 60 day meditations. And then, you know, we have a coach and he's helped implement some meditation into my daily routine. And, you know, like everything else, I strive for consistency with meditation, but it comes and goes. However, it's something I always say I should do more of. And when I do it, I always feel really good. So actually, funny enough, I had a call with my design team this morning and our HR director had us all do a meditation for 15 minutes. And it was awesome. Like we did a guided meditation and, you know, I was a little stressed going into it thinking, oh, it's the middle of the day. You know, I don't want to take 15 minutes. And then we went through it and I was like, that was lovely. That was the best part of my day. And it cleared some thoughts that I had going on earlier in the day that weren't maybe the most positive into a complete shift. So meditation for me is, it's part of my morning routine. I usually try to do 10 to 15 minutes. I have an insight timer. I break up my meditation into sort of quadrants where there's a, you know, the beginning is just breathing, 3 minutes of just breathing in and out, focusing on the breath. I'll spend another 3 minutes doing things that I'm grateful for, or maybe things that I'm grateful for that maybe I don't have quite yet, or it could be, you know, anything really. It's usually about people in my life, my business partners, all the great things we're doing, our investors, the dreams of spending more time on my horse,
your dog,
Yeah, my dog is usually snoring next to me. Yeah. And then the next phase might also be, you know, like just a reflection followed by additional breathing. I don't think you need to overcomplicate it. For me, it's been a bit challenging sometimes getting to that place where, as everybody else is, just doing a million different things during the day and a million different thoughts. And, you know, you're worried about your phone going off and your computer and this and that. And, you know, finding the time, I would say there's any amount of time. You could do 2 minutes, you could do 20 minutes, like anything will make an impact. And once you start implementing it is when you really start bearing the fruits of the quiet space that you create and what it opens up so many doors.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. And like Chelsea said, it can be the best part of your day, and pretty much guarantee you guys that you'll never meditate and say, wow, I'm really sorry I did that, or that was a waste of time. Like, it'll probably be about the most profound thing you do all day. And if it's not, like, at the very least, it'll be grounding, centering, calming, and it'll leave you better prepared to do what you need to do in business and in life. So to Chelsea's point too, like, this doesn't have to be long or complicated. And in fact, I'm going to share with you guys kind of my technique with meditation, and it's actually a little simpler than Chelsea's. Did our coach Jameel teach you that technique? Yeah. He shared that with me too. And I think it's great. In fact, I think one part of it is, this is a little bit next level, but I think it should be shared, that Chelsea said it kind of quickly, but there's a secret in there about manifesting what you want to manifest in life. And Chelsea said she brings gratitude to the things that haven't happened yet. Mm-hmm. And your brain doesn't know the difference between your external reality in terms of what's happened and what hasn't. When you're bringing emotion and gratitude, especially to that item in your life, whether it's losing 50 pounds or a new car or any material item or, you know, a repaired relationship, like, when you bring gratitude and say, thank you, universe, thank you, God, for this thing in my life, maybe it hasn't shown up yet, like the ideal relationship, for instance, for you, like, you're starting to train your brain to be in a state of acceptance for that item, that gift, that, you know, that manifestation you're trying to get to. And that is really powerful stuff. Like, that will, you know, there's this thing, law of attraction, is, in my opinion, very real. And this is how to use the law of attraction to manifest what you want. And if you're in this apartment game and you haven't done your first deal yet, bring gratitude to that first deal. Visualize yourself signing on the dotted line and doing the due diligence and getting the deal done, and bring gratitude to that. And you'll start to really shift your energy from a place of, man, I really want this to happen. You're grinding and you're like manipulating and pushing and forcing to try to make it happen, to putting yourself in a place of ease and flow and acceptance and gratitude. And it's amazing what'll show up when you're in that space.
Yeah, that was so well said, Tate, about, you know, just the level of gratitude that it's like instant happiness when you express gratitude. You can be in any state of mind, and when you say that you're thankful for something or someone, like, your emotions shift, your energy shifts, and you could go in a totally different direction.
Yeah, totally. So what I'm going to do now is real briefly share with you guys kind of how I meditate. And again, like Chelsea said, this can be 2 minutes, this can be 20 minutes, this can be 10 minutes. I would encourage you guys to start small, like start with 2 minutes and just get in the habit of doing it for 2 minutes for a few weeks or a week. And then maybe you go to 5, and then, you know, maybe you go to 10, and maybe it stays at 10. Like, that's great. Like, meditating for 10 minutes is 10 more minutes than just about everybody out there is doing, including your competition and like people that you're working with. And so bringing consciousness to your breath, bringing consciousness to just being in general is, like I said, it's really powerful. And it's kind of I consider it a secret sauce. And Chelsea mentioned that most successful athletes, successful entrepreneurs that are really killing it, they have some sort of practice that's similar to this. So to me, what I'm about to describe is simple. It's profound. You don't have to do anything more than what I'm about to describe. You certainly can. There's great apps out there. There's guided meditations. This is not a guided meditation technique that I'm about to share. A lot of people call this mindfulness meditation. Basically, I learned it from one of my mentors, Pema Chodron, who's an author and a speaker and a Tibetan Buddhist nun. And she's American, but she joined the Tibetan Buddhist nun tradition and is a wonderful teacher. And she's written some amazing books. And so this technique is largely based on her teachings. And basically what you want to do is, the first thing you want to do is you want to approach this from the physical realm. So you're just going to sit somewhere and you're going to sit in a posture that is erect. It's the only word I could come up with, but you want to be sitting with good posture. And a lot of times people will sit Indian style on the floor or on a cushion. That's actually my technique, is I have an actual meditation cushion or a pillow that elevates a little bit and makes it easier to cross my legs. You can sit on a chair. If you do sit on a chair, I recommend not resting your back on the chair, like just supporting yourself, supporting your spine. And you're just sitting in a very present state, like you're sitting in a very aware state. And that's really the physical approach. And sometimes, like, I'll either just rest my hand on my knees if I'm sitting cross-legged. Sometimes I'll do a little, what's called a mudra with my hands, which is just I'd usually just bring these two fingers, like my middle finger and my thumb together, and touch the tips of them. And that kind of centers me and grounds me. But you want to just be very intentional about the way that you sit. The next thing that you're going to do is you're going to start just watching your breath, and you're going to tune into your breath and just start watching it. And as a singular focus, right? So your intention is to watch the breath and be present. I'll often throw a few other things in there. Like, I'll just kind of feel the temperature of the room. I'll listen to any like ambient noise, birds chirping, stuff like that. It just brings my senses to the forefront, and you're getting present to what's so, right? You're not judging it. You're not making it right or wrong. You're just bringing your awareness to it. So, but the breath for me is the single point of focus that I use. And what's going to happen invariably is you're going to have thoughts come up, and they're going to interrupt your focus on your breath. And that's perfectly fine. In fact, that's part of the whole exercise, is you'll have these thoughts come up, and a lot of times for me, like, I'll get on a tangent in my thinking, and it'll take me 30 seconds or a minute to even identify that I'm on a tangent and to bring my focus back to the breath. But that's what you do, is you identify your thought as a thought. It's just like a cloud in the sky. It's there and it's going to pass. And you don't resist the thought. You don't make it wrong that you're thinking. You just kind of gently is a good word, bring your focus back to the breath, to your intention, to your single point. And you just practice that. That's why this is called a practice. And again, there's no necessarily like progress that you're going to make. Like, human beings just think. It's what we do. Our brains make up meaning about things and analyze and calculate and project. And, you know, you think about the future, and that's really it. Honestly, that's pretty much what I do. And what it does is and it's different every time, and it's not always going to be the same every time as far as your results or your thoughts or your practice. But again, it's very simple. 5 minutes of that will often for me just bring me to a place of like clarity. And, you know, my thoughts are clear. My heart feels clear. If there's something on your mind that's big, or something on your heart that's big, that'll come up too. And there's nothing wrong with that. And sometimes you might feel like you need to cry, or you might feel angry, and like you treat it exactly the same way. You just like, okay, I acknowledge that. And if you need to cry, cry. Like, that's a great thing that just came up. Like, that's a gift. So the attitude here is that kind of like there's nothing wrong. Like, there's nothing that can go wrong in this process. There's no right way to do it. There's just guide points, and there's no right result. You know, what I find in terms of results for me is I find that, just like I said, clarity, groundedness, patience. I feel like the rest of the day I have the ability to handle stuff that might come up in a way that I otherwise wouldn't have. I find that I'm more present in my relationships. I'm more present to what I'm doing inside of the business. And so that's why it's a secret sauce for entrepreneurs, is because it makes you more powerful, ultimately, in my opinion. And I think that's why a lot of entrepreneurs do it. And look, there doesn't need to be a reason why. You do it for the sake of doing it. And if you have a reason why, like that, that's, some people call that spiritual materialism, like you're doing this thing for the sake of getting a certain result. There's nothing really wrong with that per se, but if you don't get that result, there's going to be like expectations that weren't met, and like you're going to maybe judge it and analyze it, and that's really not the point. So really, that's like Tate's Meditation 101 for entrepreneurs. We're going to actually talk about gratitude exercises and manifestation and visualization in the next episode that Chelsea and I will do, because that's really magical too. And it's kind of a next step, but this meditation, this mindfulness that you create, like lays the groundwork for other mental disciplines, if you will.
Yeah. And I think you said it so well, like, you know, there's going to be days where it's easier than others, and you just don't be hard on yourself. If you only last 2 minutes one day, that's better than nothing at all. You know, there's so many different guides and ways to do it. There's no one way fits all when it comes to meditation. You just have to find practices that work well for you, whether they're guided or there's sound and song or silence and finding the right position and place. That's what's so beautiful about it is, it's, and you'll know when you find something that feels good to you and feels like something that you can, you know, stick to. But it's like we said before, it's just consistency and starting small, as Tate mentioned, and over time graduating to longer extents of silence or whatever it may be, really.
Absolutely. To me, one of the benefits that comes up is after you practice this for a while, like say a few weeks, a month, maybe a couple months, is you can kind of tap into this on demand throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And that'll happen with me. Well, it doesn't happen with me. I choose to do it where I have, you know, I'm driving, I'm walking, I'm hiking, I'm doing business, whatever it is I'm doing. Sometimes I'll just drop into that state that I practice being in for 10 seconds, like 30 mm-hmm. seconds. And my buddy said, it's like defragmenting your hard drive. Like, it just creates ease and flow, and it takes the edge off of the day and anything that might be bothering you. You don't identify with that stuff. You deal with it, but you don't have this burden that it's something that's you. Like, there can be guilt and shame that comes out of that. If you have a thought that's not pleasant or whatever, and you don't get that it's not you, it's not really you who you really are, there can be like just negative feelings about yourself. And like Chelsea said, that's not what this is about. This is not about being hard on yourself. It's not about getting it right. It really isn't. Like, you want to use these things as guides in your life. And it's really next level stuff. Even though it's simple, even though it sounds really simple, like actually doing it, you just never know what's going to come out of it.
Yeah. So well put.
Thanks, Chels. This has been good. This is a little shorter, sweeter episode than we often do, but hopefully really powerful for you guys. If you want help with this, guidance, first of all, check out Pema Chodron. P-E-M-A is her first name. Chodron is C-H-O-D-R-O-N. And she's got audiobooks and lectures on YouTube and really, really great like physical books that I'd recommend. But we're here for you guys, and we'd like to hear from you. And the best way to reach us and to make, you know, contact with us is to go to our website, which is investwithgreenlight.com. There's a button there that you can push that allows you to make an appointment with myself. And Chelsea, we got to get you one of those buttons too on the website. And basically you get access to my Calendly link, which allows you to schedule, you know, 10, 15 minute appointment at your convenience. And we'll just sit and talk. And if you want to talk meditation, entrepreneurship, and spirituality, to me, those go hand in hand. We can do that. We can brainstorm your business and what you're up to there, and really talk about anything where we can add value to you. There's no strings attached. We're not selling you anything. We're not asking you to do anything. We kind of have this open calendar policy where it's important to us to contribute And so this is one of the ways that we do that. Chelsea, any final words of wisdom on this?
No, I love it. I've done, this was a 2-day meditation for me. My first one, I'll admit, did not go very well. So my second one went better. And, you know, I might do a third tonight before I go to bed. But
nice.
I just encourage everybody to try. It doesn't hurt.
Yeah. And trying is doing in this case. It's not like skiing, for instance, where you have a result in mind and you're trying to get it right and you're trying to go down the mountain. And this is really just kind of suggesting to your brain and your heart and your soul that, you know, we're just going to be quiet here for a few minutes. And that's really it. Like, there's nothing more to it than that. The results that you get are the results you get. And so on that note, we'll just wish you guys well. Hope that your entrepreneurial ventures, in this case, probably in apartment investing and in multifamily investing, are going well. And more importantly, that you're growing as a company, you're growing as a person, you're growing as a business person and an entrepreneur. And, you know, to me, that growth space is really where it's at. Like, it's not about the destination. It's not about necessarily getting the deals done, although that is a product of this stuff. And something like a spiritual practice, a spiritual practice of silence will really turn up your game. It'll really make you more powerful as a person and a business person. And that's really what it's all about. So on that, we wish you guys well and hope that, you know, again, that things keep moving for you and that you keep moving the needle, as we say. So thanks, everybody, for listening to another episode of The Apartment Gurus, and we will check you guys on the next one. Take care, everybody.
This episode of The Apartment Guys is being brought to you by Greenlight Equity Group. Greenlight Equity Group acquires and operates cash-flowing multifamily assets in progressive metropolitan markets such as Salt Lake City, Idaho, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, and Columbus, Ohio. Greenlight targets consistent solid returns for its investors and a healthy environment for residents by operating high-quality, safe, clean, affordable apartment communities. To learn more about Greenlight and to sign up for the investor list, go to www.glequitygroup.com.
Thanks for listening to The Apartment Gurus with Tate Seymour. Tate and Chelsea are grateful to have you as a loyal listener. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe, rate, and review, and share with friends on your Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. Also, check out Tate's YouTube channel for videos of many of these episodes and more. Until next time, take massive action steps and rock on.